Got to start the recording. Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. It is 5:32 p.m.
Okay, I will call this meeting to order. And we'll start with roll call. Dan Fox is not here. Danielle Piarki. Mike Borowski.
Mike, you're on mute.
We see ya. We'll consider him here. Rob Atwood is absent. Angela Kowalczyk-Adrians.
Here.
Heather Gentry Nimmer. And Dina Mooney here. Okay, so we've got four people here. So we have a quorum.
Correct.
All right. Approval of the October 27th, 20. Any modifications to the agenda? If not, I'll accept a motion to adopt as submitted.
Move to adopt.
Angela? Was there a second?
Yeah. Oh. Anybody?
Danielle.
Okay. All those in, or any discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay. Got the thumbs up from Mike there. So we'll go ahead and pass the agenda, move forward with the agenda as submitted. Item number three is approval of the October 27th, 2020 minutes. I'll accept a motion unless there's some changes.
Second.
Danielle, and seconded by Angela. I can hear you now, Mike.
Good.
All or any discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the meeting minutes have passed. Number four, public appearances. Is there anybody here?
No one here. Yeah, no one here, and I did not receive any correspondence via email.
All right. Number five, Green Isle Park video.
I wanted to share a video that was produced for the village by Frankie Rosnowski, who's with the Environmental Club at Notre Dame Academy. Their group decided to do some environmental videos, and they chose Green Isle Park as the first one, so I'll share that. And Mike, if you want to mute one of your devices, I think we're getting a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, it looks like your screen is working now. You're not unmuted. So if you wanted to hang up, you could on your phone.
I'll try to do this, and hopefully it works out. Let me see here. Let me go here. Share screen. This one.
That should do it.
Yeah.
Does everyone see this?
Yes. I see it. Was there sound to this at all?
Yeah, it's just starting now. Can you hear it?
I don't hear anything.
It's kind of like piano music.
No, Chris, what's probably happening, this happens a lot on Zoom. If you hit stop share, and then when you go to share again, look for a little button you have to click to share your sound. It's a little checkbox.
it probably doesn't really matter too much, but I was just wondering if there was like a voiceover or something. Or...
Share computer sound. Let's try that.
There you go.
Can you hear it now?
Yes.
Okay, let me back this up a little bit. I think we were about right here. I think they did a wonderful job on that, and they had asked if we would put that on the website, so we were happy to do that, and it is currently under the page for Green Isle Park, under our Parks Department page, but excellent job, and once they're completed doing their rounds, maybe we'll try to see if they'll do some other parks for us, but... They did a great job, so.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, item B, winter ice rink plan.
Yes, just a real quick kind of update on what we were looking to do this year, if and when we get ice to have an ice rink. With COVID-19, we made a decision that we were not going to open the warming shelter at Green Isle Park because of how small of a space that is and how, you know, that would confine people indoors. So we made a decision not to open that. Hopefully we will have the cold weather to be able to have an ice rink. And once we do have that available, we would provide a portable toilet outside for users to utilize. And then if, you know, obviously if they get cold, they, you know, can jump in their vehicle or whatnot, but still try to provide that, but try to be as safe as possible as well.
Do you have benches out there?
Yes, there are benches. Correct. There are portable benches out there.
Okay. Well, good. That's good news. I know my family missed it last year, so hopefully we'll have some cold weather. so we can use it this year. Yes. Any other comments or questions? Okay, C, street tree removals.
Another item, just wanted to give the committee an update on where we're at with our street tree removals. Currently, our staff's been working on that periodically throughout the year, but currently we have about 70 trees for removal on our list, and that list continues to grow. About 80% of those trees are ash trees that we will be removing for emerald ash borer. Due to the emerald ash borer. In looking at our inventory for the future, we have approximately about 550 or so, give or take, ash trees throughout the community that we will be needing to deal with at some point. Right now, we look like we are keeping our head above water with it, and hopefully we can sustain that, but just wanted to give the committee kind of an update on where we sit with that. I know that a lot of times that's a question that first of all, what do you guys do in the wintertime? Well, that's our big time that we're doing tree work and removals, but also to keep you abreast of where we're sitting with regards to emerald ash borer and the ash trees.
Okay. Any questions or comments or anything from anybody?
I know we've talked about this sometimes since I joined the team. What's the replacement plan, or how can we help facilitate that so we can?
Sure. Typically with replacements, we try to come in about a year afterwards. Because we have to grind the stumps out and do some other work, but we do offer replacements where applicable to the homeowner. Not every spot should have a tree go back in it, depending on space and utilities and things like that, but we do offer trees. Thankfully, in 2020 and 2021, we've partnered with New Water on a grant that is paying for a lot of those tree replacements. So funding wise, that has helped us out in our budget, but we do have dollars in our budgeted for that purpose. We'll continue in the future to look at other funding sources as well. So as of now, we do have, a good program for those tree replacements.
And it's awesome. We've got that grant with New Water. Is it enough to keep us busy with replacement, or if we could find other grants,
Right now it's enough, to cover what we're removing. But in the future, this is going to be a longer range project that we'll have to potentially find other avenues. But we've had other partners in the past, and there's other granting opportunities through Wisconsin DNR to be able to assist with some of that as well.
Chris, is DNR not doing their first down for trees this year also?
They did. Yes, okay. We did it this fall.
Did we participate in that at all? Or?
Yes, we did. Well, we participated in receiving trees and planting them. Yeah. They did not do a site planting or anything like that this year. Yeah. Yeah. Because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for that update. We'll go on to item 6, which is an action item, fee waiver of rental fees for Red Cross Blood Drive at Green Isle Park.
Do I need to share my screen with that, or does everyone have a copy?
I went through my copy.
Yeah, I have a copy.
Okay.
Good.
But if you want to show it, if it's not too much work, Chris, maybe just to...
I think I've
got it looks
here.
Pretty self-explanatory that they were just looking for a fee waiver to use Green Isle.
That is correct.
A date to be determined in 2021.
That is correct. We have not worked with Red Cross previously, but I would hope that this would be a continuing partnership in the future. It seemed like they were interested in that, so.
Who do we usually give these to, these waivers? I'm trying to think if we've done them since I've been on the board.
Yes, we have done a few. We've done with the Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts.
Or a book sale. Did we do one for a book sale?
Possibly.
They had at the community center.
Yeah, I can't recall if they had a fee with that or not, but usually it's service groups that we you know, have given a waiver to for good causes.
Mm-hmm. Did they say, I'm fine with it, but I was just wondering, can you scroll down further to the bottom where it asks about which facility that they're interested in renting?
Sure.
So did they say anything as to why it would be like Green Isle Park versus Village Hall? I don't know if that's more convenient since it's staffed and there's people there versus...
You know, I don't know that they did. The only thing that I can, that I believe was the reason was because of possibly larger space and being able to spread out more.
Okay.
The pavilion is much more square foot wise, larger. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I move to approve the fee waiver.
Any discussion? Okay, all those who agree with the motion to approve the fee waiver, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the motion passes for the fee waiver. Okay, next discussion, the comprehensive outdoor rec plan. Request for proposals?
Yes. This is pretty much a final draft, I think, with that, unless anyone had any comments or questions. I think we could proceed. I updated everything from the last, our last meeting that we had and went through. If there's any discussion or comments or questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Special things to pay attention to. I really like that part. I think that will be exciting to see how that comes about and what the public has to say about that.
Okay.
Appreciate what you did. Thank you.
Good.
Okay, so this, we don't need to take action on it.
No.
We'll just for discussion until we meet again in January, perhaps, and then take final action?
We really don't need to take final action on this.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's more of just being of having a consensus. Thank you. Consensus together.
Okay.
You know, making sure we got everything included type of thing. So.
Okay. All right. Item number 8, presentation discussion on the East River Community Resiliency Project.
Yes, this is an item that I think that we've been working, with some other organizations on and other communities on that I think kind of goes hand in hand with our discussions of the flooding along the East River and how it affects the East River Trail. Angela has been quite involved with this, so I actually asked her to kind of explain it and go over, what the resiliency project is. So I will share that sheet. Here it is. Okay, let me see.
All right. So just to summarize it a bit, and I can get you, more detail about it if you'd like, but basically this is a project that I put a grant in for it with Wisconsin Coastal Management Program and the Fund for Lake Michigan, working with UWC Grant and the Nature Conservancy. And primarily I was talking with them and, through the development of this project, we recognized that you know, we have a lot of flooding going on, and a number of communities in the East River watershed, you know, are struggling with what to do when the East River floods all the time, and the need to kind of look for watershed-based solutions, because just addressing the flooding issues in each jurisdiction may not quite get us where we need to go when, you know, if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you know, that's the East River watershed. And a lot of that is, you know, upstream in rural areas where you're, you know, getting a lot of water just running off with not much to stop. It's, there may be opportunities to look kind of upstream and partner with other jurisdictions to, you know, achieve more flood storage. So that was kind of the impetus for the project. But how we're starting out with this effort is to kind of make sure that we are answering all the questions, to gather the information that's needed. So it's going to involve putting together a flood study, and we're working with the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at University of Wisconsin, Chin Wu. He's a researcher there, so he's doing some, he's got some stream gauges out all along the East River, and he's going to be doing some flood modeling with a number of different scenarios to kind of get an idea of, you know, what some of our flood risk is, where there may be potentials for solutions. Another element of this project is pulling together a collaborative. It's being referred to as the East River Resiliency Collaborative, and that's, or East River Community Resiliency Collaborative. Something like that. So they're pulling together all of the municipal representatives along the East River, so that part of the effort is just getting that conversation going among the different communities, you know, developing the trust, talking about the different issues everyone's facing, so that as you start looking for solutions, you have a partnership to move forward with finding solutions that may not actually be in your jurisdiction, but you can come together and come up with solutions that are going to be the best to address the problem, no matter where it may be located. So that's another element of it. And then third element, developing kind of a, working with each community individually to try to get at some of these solutions by more finding the problems that are specific to each community and kind of a self-assessment of some of the issues that are faced and what might be some of the solutions. So with this, it's a 18-month project. We got started in January, so it'll take us through, or no, we got started in June. It'll take us through December 2021. And through this effort, we're hoping to kind of get the answer, or get on the road to finding the answers. We know through this project, 18 months, it will get us kind of probably more questions than answers through that process, but it's the gathering that information, gathering the data. The flood study is a big part of it. And then we hope to, you know, work with communities to pursue additional funding to take us to that next level, maybe some specific solutions. I'm thinking not even just general solutions. I'm thinking that once we have the data we need, that I'd like to see grants occur for finding specific projects that, you know, almost like an action plan that can then be implemented on a region-wide scale to address some of the flooding issues on the East River. So that's a quick summary. I guess one thing I should mention, that we do have a fellow that we hired through the Nature Conservancy to head up this effort. And his name is Blake Newman. I just want to put that name out there in case you see that wrong, because I know he's making a, you know, big effort to reach out to municipalities, interview a number of municipalities, and some additional grant writing work that he's going to be taking on is trying to get some funding to do some public outreach. So you may see Blake's name around a little bit more regarding East River Resiliency.
That was my question I had too, Angela, was, so who is the point person for this? So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, and on this fact sheet, I don't know, was this sent to everybody, or? So you have Blake's name on there, as well as Julia Nordyke. She's the person I work with at Sea Grant. Adam Beckley, he's another Sea Grant. He's more working with Chin Wu on the modeling side of things. And we have a couple people from the Nature Conservancy, as well as Blake Newman, on the project.
Well, that's excellent to hear. First step.
Yeah.
So.
No, good. Thank you very much, Angela. Kind of hand in hand with that, and Angela, you might have a little bit of information on this. I did see your name as involvement, but Brown County is updating their all-hazard mitigation plan, and that just came out this week with they're looking to update that plan, and with that came a report, and I'm not exactly sure who did the report, but it, recommendations for integrating green infrastructure into that plan. And Angela, I'm not sure if you have any information on that.
Yeah, so Brown County's updating their multi-hazard mitigation plan. And as part of it, they got additional funding through EPA and I believe Coastal Management too, to specifically kind of take a look at green infrastructure and how that might be used to address some hazard mitigation aspects, specifically flooding is kind of the target. And they worked with Tetra Tech, and that report you saw came out of Tetra Tech holding a series of, I think we had three workshops where we talked about some of the issues in communities and recommending some kind of mitigation strategies. And then they put it into a report of kind of focused on, you know, how you can address mitigation, primarily flooding through green infrastructure.
No. Good, good. And I think that proves that a lot of people are looking at these issues and trying to come up with solutions. Making sure that we're all working together, to come up with a good solution that will benefit the most, the majority at least. So, we will continue to look at short-term solutions, you know, to make sure that, the trail is as usable as possible. And, I will, continue to work with, our neighbors and see if, there's things that we can partner with regards to that.
Anything on that, Chris, in terms of short-term solutions?
We have not met since the last time we discussed during meeting. We hope to get back together after the first of the year and continue those discussions. I know Green Bay's really been kind of looking at options and avenues. So, being able to communicate and partner with them, I think will be very beneficial.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, any other questions? Thank you, Angela.
Sure, you're welcome.
For filling us in. Future agenda items, number 9. Anybody have anything they'd like to see in a future agenda? If not, just let Chris know if you do. And definitely get those on.
Yeah, the only one that I can think of is that ongoing update on the solutions for the trail.
Sure.
We're talking to a couple of people in a group that I'm in the other day, and they were concerned about two things. One is, when's it ever going to be usable again? And then how much damage is going to occur as a result of the flooding, and what's that going to cost to repair, and how will that occur? So. I think that's a perennial update until we get either the long-term solution or something for the short-term.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it really is like when I go to work, I travel on 57 heading south through De Pere, and how badly it floods down there. It never crosses the road, so it never really impacts traffic, but it's kind of a mess south of us. So, to get that lower portion fixed. Kind of like what Angela was saying with those, like you kind of identified, the watershed is in Town of Holland and Rockland and those places. There's stuff down there with all that ag runoff. Okay. If you have anything for the agenda, just let Chris know. Otherwise, I will take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second. Okay, thanks, Danielle.
Second.
Okay. Okay, all those to move to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed.
Okay. We are adjourned at 6:02 p.m.